It's good to be with you again at Forest Mill. It's been a long time. Gina and I certainly appreciate the love and concern you show for Glenn and Janet Davis. And when we get the chance to visit them and worship here, it's always great to be with you. And I appreciate the elders and Chris giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. I understand you've been learning about the character and nature of God. And so today we're going to talk about an attribute of God's character that I often overlook. And that is that our God is a God of unfinished things. And we're all unfinished. I mean, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be and all that stuff, right? But I think we don't always embrace that because we like closure. We like certainty. We like knowing how things end, don't you? Have you ever watched a TV show, maybe faithfully for years and years, and you get to the last episode and the screen goes black at the end? And you say, really? That's it? What about this character, and what about this storyline, and what about, does that frustrate you? In many ways, we like to know how things end. We like to know the whole story. But I think there are times when we can appreciate things that are unfinished. We can appreciate the beauty. We've sung so much this morning about the beautiful things that God has made, and we can appreciate things that are beautiful even if they're unfinished. Let me give you a couple of examples. So in art and sculpture, a lot of times great artists died before they finished all the things they were working on. And we had the chance to see one of Michelangelo's Pietas in Milan a few years ago, and it's unfinished, but it is still worth looking at. And you may have experienced this, seeing a painting maybe in a museum where, you know, half the painting is done, and then there's just a line drawing for the rest, but it's by Da Vinci or Rembrandt or somebody. And so people aren't protesting and saying, we don't want to see all this unfinished work. This is a waste of our time. No, I mean, in something like this, you can see the chisel marks from the master. You can see, it's kind of cool actually to see the way he was sort of discovering what he saw within the block of marble. And it's neat because it's unfinished, and we can appreciate the beauty in that. There are musical works like Schubert's Unfinished Symphony or Mozart's Requiem, and they're still performed. We still appreciate them, even though they might not have had the last finishing touch. Glenn went with Gina and me to the Kentucky Derby this year. And, you know, I'm from Kentucky, so I'm sort of aware of horse racing. But most of the world doesn't care about horse racing except for a few weeks in the summer. And this summer we had the pleasure of, this was our view of the horses coming around the turn for us in the Derby. And we got to see California Chrome win the race and then win the Preakness 3 weeks later. And so then suddenly people who don't care at all about horse racing care about horse racing. And why? Because there's something unfinished, right? And that's appealing. There's this idea of a triple crown, of winning the three big races and being the horse. It hasn't happened in more than 30 years now. But when a horse wins those first two, there's excitement in the unfinished. If you're a baseball fan right now and we're about to get into the postseason, there's kind of mystery and uncertainty, and it's fun because we don't know. It could be any of the teams that are still alive. I'm a Cincinnati fan. I commiserate with those of you who are fans of the team around here. But for other teams, you know, there's hope, and the uncertainty makes it exciting because we don't know how it's going to end yet. Sometimes books work this way. I was a big fan of Stephen King's The Dark Tower series, which took him something like 35 years to finish. He did finally finish it. But some series aren't finished and might never be. There may be some of you who are fans of the Game of Thrones series. There's supposed to be at least two books still to come. Has that kept people from watching the show or reading the books? It has not. It has not. It's okay that it's unfinished. We know that winter is coming, and that's enough for right now. But the unfinished is not necessarily bad. There are beautiful things that can be found in things that are unfinished. One of my favorite buildings is the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, Spain, or Catalonia, depending on your perspective, which was begun in 1880. And it was worked on by the great architect Gaudi, and it's a fantastical kind of place. You can see a little bit from the detail on the front that it's not the kind of straight up and down lines that you're used to seeing in a cathedral. It's all these weird sculptures and garish colors on parts of the building. And it's been in construction for over 100 years, but it's still worth seeing. And I've got a picture here of the interior that you see there on the left, which is amazing. It's actually modeled after the way redwood trees hold up their structure, and you can kind of get a sense of how it looks kind of like tree-like structures. Okay, 10 years ago, this was a field with trees and grass growing in it. But guess what? People didn't say, oh, that's not finished. Call me when you're done, and I'll come back and check it out. There are lines around the block to get in to see what's going on, even though it's unfinished. So I hope we have some appreciation for unfinished things, even if it's not always our preference. What I want you to understand today is two things. First of all, God is comfortable with unfinished things, even when we're not. And secondly, evangelism and outreach is worth it, even if we may never know the end of the story. So I want you to leave today more comfortable with God's nature as the God of unfinished things. Let's start with some of the ways that God shows us that He wants us to be comfortable not knowing the end of everything. There are a lot of stories in the Bible that start out very promisingly. They're interesting. They've got interesting characters and conflicts. And sometimes we know the end. Sometimes the end is unpleasant, but we know it. And there are lots of times that we don't know what happens to people. They show up, they kind of grasp our attention for a moment, and then they're gone. And I don't know if you've ever thought about how frequently that happens. But let's look, first of all, at some Christians that we don't know very much about after they kind of show up on the scene. So after Judas commits suicide, the apostles get together to pick a replacement. Do you remember the story at the beginning of Acts? And they come up with two people that they think are equally well qualified. They've been with Jesus ever since his baptism. They've witnessed his miracles, his resurrection. They come up with two guys, Matthias and Justus. And who do they pick? Matthias. Okay, so then, what does Matthias do after he is selected to join this group of the people who are going to take the message of Jesus throughout the world, who are going to have special Holy Spirit power? What else do we know about Matthias? Zilch. Don't you think that's kind of odd? This seems like it's a big deal. There's like half a chapter on this selection process, and then nothing. Don't you kind of wish you knew what happened to Matthias? Like, did he turn out to be awesome? Did they go back and say, man, casting lots did not work this time? No. Who knows? We don't know. And then how about the other side? Justus, he's the one that didn't get picked. Were his feelings hurt? Did he leave the church because he said, well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't want me, then I don't want any. I mean, I don't know. Aren't you kind of curious about that? God doesn't think we need to know. That's enough. And then we've got three other names up here who are three of the names in the list of deacons that the church chose to take care of the widows that weren't getting served. You remember that story? And two of them, we have other stories about Stephen and Philip. We know a little bit about what happened to them. But then we have these three guys and two more. No mention of them. Again, it seems like they're kind of important. Again, this is where we get our model in part of how we have deacons and what they do. And yet, done. That's the end of the story as far as we know. It's unfinished. Even more intriguing to me, and especially if we think about outreach and evangelism, even more intriguing is people who seemed like good prospects, people who seemed like maybe they were on a path toward Jesus, but we don't know if they ever made it or not. Let's look at some of those names. Barabbas, he's the murderer and the rioter who got released instead of Jesus. Do you remember his story? And of course, there's a movie and there's some church sort of legend that he became a Christian. It would be cool to know what happened to Barabbas after Jesus gave him his life back. What'd he do? Did he go use that second chance? I don't know. We don't know the end of that story. Gamaliel, he's the teacher who stood up, even though he was a Jewish leader, he stood up for Peter and John when the council wanted to kill them. And I don't know if you remember this, but he said, you know, if what they're doing is from God, we can't stop it. And if it's not from God, it won't last. So we don't need to kill him. Man, that's wise, isn't it? And we read about other people who became Christians who had been taught by Gamaliel. Man, I read that story and I think it would be really cool if Gamaliel turned into a Christian. And his action in that story makes me think, hey, maybe he was already a little sympathetic to the way, to the cause of Christ. I would like to know what happened. Silence. That's it. That's all we get. And then we've got other people like Felix and Agrippa who listened to Paul for a long time, but we don't know if they ever did anything about it. We've got Simon the sorcerer who tried to buy the Holy Spirit, and then Peter said, you can't do that, and Satan is in you, and you better pray that God will forgive you. So does he? Here's what I think. I think there's a 50-50 chance that Simon the sorcerer started a cult. I'm just saying. It looked like it was going that way. But I would like to know what happened. I mean, it would be a better story if we get to see redemption and forgiveness, that Simon repents and says, of course, that was really not the right thing to do, and I want to see God's power worked out in the world. I don't know. I don't know. And to me, all these stories that are interesting but incomplete are in part God getting us used to unfinished stories. He's okay with, I mean, he knows the ending. And we have what we need in the Bible, amen? And so we don't need to know the ends of those stories no matter how much we want to. And there are probably other stories for you, maybe Old Testament stories where you really would like to know the aftermath or some of the details. How exactly did Joshua make the sun stand still? How did the flooding thing work out on the ark with people not eating everything? You know, have you had questions like that? Those are unfinished stories. And I think by giving them to us in that form, God is saying, you need to be okay with this. I'm in control. So God is comfortable with unfinished stories, even if we're not. And the second big idea that I want you to take away today is that outreach and evangelism is usually an unfinished work. So whether you're thinking about Upward Basketball, whether you're thinking about one day coming up, the other things that you all do in the community, you are not always going to see the final outcomes of what you do. Here's what I bet you wish would happen, that somebody's going to come to Upward Basketball, they're going to, you know, get fitted for their uniforms by the people that are helping with that, and they're going to get their little skills test, and they're going to start playing on a team. And, you know, a couple games in, the parents are going to come up to one of you and say, hey, you all are doing a great thing in the name of Jesus. I'd like to know more about this Savior of yours. And so you say, well, here's what you need to do to obey him. And they say, well, hey, here's water. And so, boom, there isn't that kind of what you would wish to happen from that? Does that happen every time with every person? No, and that's true of any evangelistic outreach that you can think of. You have a vision maybe of this is the ideal way this is going to work, where I get to see exactly what happens. Doesn't always work that way. And I want us to be comfortable with that and recognize that whatever we do in the name of Jesus, we are becoming part of a story that God knows the end of. And that we may never know the end of, and that's okay. This summer, my family and I spent a month in Brazil, and I know you all have heard about Brazil from Chris, but we spent a month in Brazil with Let's Start Talking. And this is a ministry, I know Andy and Cheryl, SQ, have done this ministry, some of the rest of you may have been involved in it before as well, where we advertise free English conversation practice for people, and we read Bible stories and talk about them. So we always start in Luke, so we'll read a story from Luke in English, we'll talk about it with somebody who is a native, in this case Portuguese speaker, but is trying to work on their English. And this gives us a way to really talk about the Word of God. And we believe that the Word of God is powerful enough to draw people to faith. So this is our goal, to plant seeds. And this summer we were in Natal, which is, as you can see there, on the far eastern tip of Brazil. It hosted a couple World Cup games before we got there. It's a city of about 1.3 million, and that's where we spent our summer. So we got to see a lot of situations in Natal. Here's another shot of the city, where we got to be a part of a story that we don't know the end of. And in some cases, we had been there 2 years earlier also. So in some cases, we saw some of the same people again, and we got to see a little bit more of their story. We got to see some of them really being drawn to God, but we didn't get to see the ends of stories. We just got to see a point in time when that story was taking place. So let me tell you about some of the stories that we got to see developing through the power of God in Brazil, and then I'll bring it back to the outreach kinds of things that you all have coming up. So this is what a regular day looks like in Let's Start Talking. We're in a big room, and we're one-on-one talking about Bible stories with people for about 50 minutes at a time. Sometimes we also get invited by our readers, that's what we call our students, to do other things, and we're all for that because we want to build relationships with them. We want them to think good things about Christians. And so this was one of my readers. He's on the far right there, Leandro. Not a believer. His girlfriend, Stephanie, who's on the far left, also not a believer. She studied with Gina. And even though they were not a believer, and actually at this dinner we had kind of a confrontational moment where one of them said, so really, you're trying to get people to follow Jesus like that. Yes, that's we've been studying the Bible with you for, you know, 2 years. What? How did you miss that? But that, you know, they're not necessarily close to the kingdom, but we want to spend time with them. We want them to think, hey, being a Christian is something that's a good thing, so that the story that happens out of our sight is going to be one that God's in control of. This is another one of my readers on the far right. His name's Ulysses, and he wanted to take us on an excursion. So one of our off days, he and his nephew drove us an hour and a half at the equator in unair-conditioned cars to the tallest lighthouse in South America. This is Toros, the tallest lighthouse in South America. And we got there, and you can see how far away we are from it. Unfortunately, it was closed that day. Bummer. But we got some good bonding time with Ulysses. And let me tell you, he has been working with Let's Start Talking for 5 years. 5 years. So he read with me 2 of those years. Other people from other places that have gone down there and worked with the church in Natal. While we were there this summer, he came to church twice. He'd never come to church before in those 5 years. Now, coming to church is not the be-all, end-all. I recognize that. But it is a step. It is part of what I hope is the story of God drawing him to himself. And so this day was an investment in being part of that story. Again, I don't know what the story is going to look like, but I'm trusting God to take care of it from this point. My daughter Kinley is 13, and there's not much of a playbook for this, and I know those of you who are parents work through this kind of thing, but she's gone on these projects with us for many years. And so after she became a Christian, she wanted to start studying with people, which is, this is really an adult kind of thing that we, you know, we train people that are adults and independent. So 4 years ago, she shared a couple of readers with me. And then 2 years ago, she had 2 readers that were children of other readers that we had. And this year, she had 6. We found 6 readers that were about her age. So she had kind of a half workload. And so she's developing in her faith and growing, and I hope learning that reaching out to people is worth it, whether you see results right away or not, as we work through there. My son Knox, he heard us reading the story of Jesus' baptism so many times with people this summer, and he's been talking about this with us for 3 years, that he was like, so why not me? Why do they get to talk about baptism with you, and you want them to be baptized, but not me? And so he wore us down. So Knox was baptized this summer, and that was a great, unexpected fruit of what was going on there. And we put him right to work. We have morning devotionals every day. So that week, we were like, hey, you're officially on the team now, so get to work. And he did. He did a nice job. This is my reader, Wilsmar. Wilsmar is a great example of how we don't know the whole story. I have no idea how Wilsmar came to Let's Start Talking. There was a camp last year with Let's Start Talking, and he showed up, and nobody knew him or where he had come from or how he had heard about it. But they're like, okay. So then this year, I got to be the first person to study with him, starting from the beginning of Luke. He came during our second lesson, and he said, he's 47 years old, he said, I have always had a Bible, but I have never opened it in my whole life in Portuguese until we started. And I want to know what else is happening, because we don't read the whole book of Luke. We read excerpts. I want to know what else is happening, so I have started reading my Bible. It is really interesting. Yes, yes, that's a great outcome. We met his wife a couple weeks later, and she actually complained a little bit. She was like, he reads the Bible all the time. It's kind of making me crazy. So yes, that's a good outcome. We're excited about that. I have to tell you a Wilsmar story. One thing about Portuguese that sometimes comes into people's English speaking is that R's are usually pronounced like we say H's. So like we say Rio de Janeiro, Brazilians would say Rio de Janeiro. And we know this at some point, but sometimes we forget. So one day I'm reading a story with Wilsmar, and Passover is mentioned. And I said, do you know anything about Passover? He said, yes. Habits? I said, yes, like traditions. It's a tradition. It's a habit. He said, habits and chocolate eggs. Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that's Easter. Close, close. But Easter. And Wilsmar is coming to, I mean, he's come to church, he's got, it's, and who knows where he came from or why, what brought him to us in the first place, but God is working on him. Gina, this is one of Gina's readers, Lucia, and this is kind of a weird thing. I had a student several years ago in another country who was a member of parliament. That was kind of weird and crazy. But this year, Gina's reader, Lucia, is married to a retired soccer superstar in Brazil, which was also kind of an interesting experience. And so he was not our reader. We did not have direct contact with him at first. Gina was reading with his wife. They have this were actually there. They fed a bunch of us one Sunday, this kind of palatial estate in the middle of the city. But he came to one of our social gatherings and started talking to me and a couple of the ministers, and we ended up seeing a lot of him by the end. And when we left, one of the ministers said to me, they need to be part of this church. And I think God is working on them to move them in that direction. So it was exciting to interact with Lucia and her family and their house. Sometimes readers would go spend time taking us to an ice cream place or doing other activities. This is my reader, Leandro. He's a personal trainer. We often have students that want to give us something because the lessons are free. He gave us personal training. I'm not sure what I just did. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, he would show up and we would get ready for the day. But here's the neat thing about Leandro. He has known one of the missionaries there for 2 years. But he told me things in my week, thank you, that she had not figured out yet. And so that was pretty exciting to feel like I could be, in my very brief time, a part of this ongoing story. And he talked to me about marital problems that he's having. His wife is not a believer at all. He is a believer, but has some challenges there. And since we left, in the 2 months that we've been gone, they've started being part of a young adult, young married group there. They're not coming to church together, but they're participating in that group. There's going to be a retreat for couples next month, and they're both going. She was so anti-anything church that when they got married, she refused for it to be anywhere near a church building, just because she was, and so God's working on them. That's a story that is progressing. I don't know how it's going to end. Here's what often happens with Let's Start Talking. People move, or we lose touch with them, and we don't know what happens after that, but we believe that their story is ongoing and that God is going to take care of that. This is the reader, the girl in the red shirt. She brought friends, and then at one point she quit coming, and so Gina still texts her back and forth sometimes. We don't know exactly what happened with her, but she has kind of an evangelistic spirit. She's a searcher. I think God is still working on her. This is a student who I had 2 years ago, Gina had this year, and now he's a student at the University of Montana. And so, go figure. There's a Brazilian program that pays for students to go study engineering and science subjects in the United States. We had a couple of students that were doing that. This is another student that came back to us, so is part of a kind of ongoing story. And those things are exciting, but they're a reminder that we don't know how these things are going to end. You don't know how that child that you're coaching is going to think about Christianity or 10 years or 15 years from now, what impact that's going to have. You don't know how that's influencing his parents. When you do the one-day thing, you don't know how that's going to change people's image of being a Christian. Because people sometimes have bad experiences with Christians, don't they? And so by being the aroma of Christ in a good way, through those kinds of things, we're able to make people fertile soil for the seed that we're planting. I think even if the end result is unknown, outreach is worth it. And I will tell you, it's one of the most frustrating things to do. It's one of the riskiest things to do. You put yourself out there, especially if you're getting into a serious spiritual conversation. Glenn brought up in class today a serious spiritual conversation he had with somebody this week. And the outcome was not, you're right, Glenn, I do want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, was it? It's often not that. But it's worth having the conversation. It's worth serving it one day. It's worth doing upwards basketball. It's worth doing Let's Start Talking, because even if we don't see the end, these things happen. God's word is proclaimed. People are served in Jesus' name. And people witness the love of Christ in Christians. And those are worth it, aren't they? Those are beautiful things, aren't they? And it doesn't matter that they're unfinished. It doesn't matter that you might serve somebody at one day who lives here now and moves away and you have no idea whatever happens to them. Now, you may occasionally, amazing things happen, and you'll hear about somebody that you encountered years ago and they've changed their lives and they've turned things around. Gina went to her 25th high school reunion last night. We met a couple people who were very different, right, than you had remembered them before. And sometimes our interactions with people can lead to things that we get feedback about. But a lot of times, it doesn't happen that way. It's still worth it. And as we think about a God who's a God of unfinished things, of course, all of us are unfinished things. And God is calling us to be a part of his unfinished work. I love the way that even Paul, who at times is confident, is that fair? Is that charitable for Paul? Sometimes he's very confident about himself, right? Even Paul, in Acts 20, he writes this, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What does that mean? That he hasn't completed it. And he talks about that later. Paul doesn't think he's got it all figured out. He doesn't think he's a finished work. Even Paul recognizes God is still working on him. And I love the way he begins Philippians as he talks about God's power to take unfinished things and bring them to completion. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is the one who finishes things. And so even if the place that we play in the grand story is a small one, even if we just see a part of it and we don't see the beginning and we don't see the end, we trust that God is in control. And so I want to encourage you, as you all are doing things here at Forest Mill, in the community and with children and beyond, I want to encourage you to understand that just because you don't see a result, that doesn't mean God is not making something wonderful happen. And of course, as we're all unfinished, we need work from time to time. We need work all the time. And we're about to sing a song to encourage one another in this way. But you know, the invitation is always open. If you need, if you're not really accepting that you're unfinished and God's working on you, if you're having a hard time with that, or if you're maybe giving up on yourself, or you're giving up on a ministry because you're not seeing the results you want to see, and you want us to pray for you, this is a great time for that too. But right now, let's think about how God is the God of unfinished things, and let's encourage one another to allow him to work in and through us as we sing Have Thine Own Way. Let's all stand together and sing.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Thank you so much, Josh. That was really a good lesson, and we appreciate you coming and sharing with us. In that same vein, I'm going to read a little passage here from 2 Peter, starting in verse 5. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, we're not complete, increasing always, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Josh. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here today, to learn from your word, to fellowship with each other, and to encourage each other. We thank you for the blessings of today, and we pray for those that are hurting and just needing your gentle touch. We thank you for Jesus and the work he did on the cross. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.